Hey everybody, this is John Culp in Lafayette, Louisiana, and I am doing a special episode for Hacker Public Radio here. The last couple I've recorded were solos, and the one before that was an interview, and the one before that was an interview. But getting back to the interviews now, and with me is programmer extraordinaire Jezra.
Hi everybody, this is Jezra. I'm in Petaluma, California, and I'm talking to Jonathan Culp over Mumble. And it's pretty good.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good. We're mumbling, and we're also going to be blathering. So, Jezra, since you are the lead developer of Blather, why don't you tell everybody what the heck it is?
Blather is a Python application that wraps around... let's see. Python's a Blather application that uses GStreamer to wrap around Pocket Sphinx, which is a speech recognition engine created, I believe, by Carnegie Mellon University. And by doing this wrapping around the speech recognition engine, Blather is capable of running commands when someone who is running Blather speaks a certain sentence or string of words.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. You know, when you first mentioned something, I remember seeing a notice from you on Identica or, you know, our StatusNet instances or something, saying just kind of in passing that you were doing something with speech recognition. And this piqued my interest immediately because speech recognition is really, really important to me. Because a few years ago, I had... issues with my wrist, and I still do. I got carpal tunnel syndrome, and I actually had surgery on my left wrist to fix it, and it's helped somewhat, but I still cannot be typing all the time. It really hurts if I do too much typing, and so speech recognition has become crucial to me for any kind of dictation or anything like that, like long emails, documents I have to create at work or anything like that. And up until you came out with Blather, I had to boot into Windows to use either Dragon Naturally Speaking or to use the built-in Microsoft speech recognition program, which is actually not all that bad. I mean, the functionality is pretty good, and the same goes for Dragon Naturally Speaking. But the problem with both of them is, well, two problems. One, they both seem to bring the system to a grinding halt in terms of resources. They're real resource hogs. The other is that you're basically stuck with whatever they give you. If they say to switch applications, you have to use switch to this, switch to that, then you're stuck with that. But the beauty of Blather is that, you know, if you know what you're doing a little bit, like I do for scripting and so forth, you can set up basic functionality to do all of that stuff that the other ones do, except make the commands you actually want to say, not the ones they tell you that you have to say.
And I will say that what I've seen of the videos that you've posted of you using Blather, that is above and beyond anything I ever dreamed of would be done with the software that I wrote.
So what was your original vision for this thing?
My original vision was really a joke that I've had with my brother for maybe 10 years, in that I just want to be able to come home from work, walk into my place and say, "Computer, play Black Sabbath." And then, of course, have the machine play some Black Sabbath. And this has never been something that I actually just went ahead and did, because I never looked into speech recognition in Linux as much as I should have. I always thought it was, oh, it's sort of behind, and what's currently available on, say, a Macintosh or the Windows operating system. And then I saw a tutorial on, I believe it was the GStreamer site, about using Pocket Sphinx from both Vela and from Python. And I thought, oh, wow, that is it. That is going to let me walk into my house, say, "Computer, play Black Sabbath." Because I like Star Trek, The Next Generation. I watch a lot of Star Trek. Mm-hmm. And they just walk into their place, say, "Computer, play Black Sabbath. Computer, play music." And that's what I wanted. That hands-free, I'm home, play some damn music for me.
Love it. And is that working for you right now? I mean, the video that I saw you post was, I believe you were making your string of LEDs do various things with voice commands.
I've actually had a problem with the speech recognition picking up Sabbath. And I don't call my computer computer. Computers have names. Computers are anthropomorphized like everything else I have. Everything is to me is a pet. My car, my motorcycle, my computers. I don't say, "Hey car, let's go to work." My car has a name. I talk to it. My motorcycle has a name. I talk to it. Musical instruments have names. We talk to them. Computers have names. We talk to them as if they are a child or a pet. And so to me, I have a home network, and that home network is who I talk to. And I say Niauli, because my nickname of my network is Niauli. It's not the name of my network, it's the nickname of my network. And so for me, it's Niauli, play Black Sabbath. And Sabbath doesn't get picked up properly, and I don't know why.
You might be able to go into the dictionary file and tweak it a little bit. I mean, that's kind of granular tweaking there. I mean, what I do, the word blather actually, it has trouble picking up that word, blather, both Blather itself and the dictation tool that I use, the Google Web Speech API tool. It always thinks I'm saying bladder. And so I've got a command where I want to turn off blather. I just say kill bladder. And so and I've just learned if I wanted to do something with blather, I have to say bladder. And actually one of my little text manipulation commands is called fix bladder. And so if I am doing dictation in one of those little Google speech windows and I have to use the word blather. It almost always, probably 80% of the time, they think I said bladder. And so I will give a command that says fix bladder, and it does a series of keystrokes that will select everything, copy it to the clipboard, pipe that out through stream editor sed, which will then replace all instances of the word bladder with blather and put it back on the screen.
One thing I've tried doing when there's a command that is just not being recognized or picked up by whatever machine is set up to pick up and is running blather is to change the string to be more phonemic,
Yes.
so that instead of like if I were saying enough, I wouldn't write ENOUGH, I would type ENUFF because it would be the phonemes that I want, and that would probably match up a bit better than the bastard language known as English.
You know, one thing I've found also with this thing is that sometimes I have to speak more quickly than I think I might need to. Like I will have to say the string of words fairly quickly.
Really quickly.
Yeah, or else it will think I've already stopped speaking and that it's a separate string that it's looking for.
And right there, you need to restart Blather.
Restart blather?
Yes. So I've noticed that when Blather starts, sometimes it will, as you said, think you've ended your sentence even though you haven't. Or it'll think you've paused even though you haven't. So something like Niauli lights on would be Niauli lights on. And that is not the way humans speak.
Right.
But that's the way that the Pocket Sphinx library is picking up the speech that I'm, well, speaking. It's the way it is. And I found that actually restarting it tends to put it a bit more in line with what I want it to do.
Now, when you say restart, do you mean actually quit out of the whole thing and restart it, or just check the little checkbox on and off?
I mean, pretend it's a Windows machine, turn it off, turn it back on again.
I don't have to do that very much, actually. I normally can keep it going for hours at a time, and it works just fine.
Well, in that case, shit. I swore on HPR.
There, I wondered, I was wondering how long it would take before we got to the explicit label there, so there it is.
You know, I thought of starting the episode with some swearing, just to keep the pace going.
Yeah.
And I guess it just didn't happen.
Well, you know, that's all right. There was something I was gonna. I've lost my train of thought there. Man,
It happens.
are you standing out in the driveway or something?
No, I'm sitting in my living room, which is right next to one of the main thoroughfares in this little area of town.
Okay, well.
And so the threshold on Mumble is set just to the edge of my voice. So if a car goes by, it's most likely going to get picked up by Mumble. However, the microphone that I'm using to record with Audacity might not pick up that audio, which is it's a feature of this nice cheap karaoke microphone.
Oh, one of those things. That's funny. My daughter has a karaoke machine, and I'm looking right now at one of those little dynamic microphones like you're talking about. And yeah, those normally won't pick up stuff from much further away than 2 or 3 feet, I would think. I'm using a little clip-on condenser mic here, so it'll pick up various ambient sounds in my detached office. I actually turned off one of my servers over there to try and reduce the amount of sound in the room. Turned off the air conditioner as well, so I hope it doesn't get too hot in here.
Yeah, I would think that turning off the air conditioner in Louisiana in summertime may not necessarily be the best idea.
Well, it's certainly not a good idea during the day, but after dark, like right now, it's probably okay. I think I'll survive to the end of our conversation.
Awesome. So I certainly hope that you will be posting the links to the videos that you've made of you using Blather.
I have at least the big long intro video where I've got the slides going and the picture of you and all that and the music in the beginning. And I figure from there people can, if they want to see more, they can click on related things or look at my list of videos. Did you get a chance to watch the one I made today yet?
You know, I haven't. I've been driving all day
Oh
long.
man, bummer.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing what I've the thing I did today is I don't know, it gets it where it's almost as good as Dragon Naturally Speaking for my purposes. What I did was I created a command that will whenever I say the word dictation box, it will open up a new instance of Chromium with a pixel size of 600 by 400, and it is opened up as an app. So it comes up in its own little window. It just pops out a little box, and I do a series of virtual mouse movements and clicks and so forth to turn on the microphone and start listening almost immediately. And so you talk and talk and talk, and it uses the Google Web Speech API, and you can see your words just spitting out onto the screen as you talk. And then when you are done talking, you just say, "Stop talking." And that's the command that will tell it to do another virtual mouse click on the button that stops it. And so that stops listening. And then one more command called transfer text will copy all that and then flip back to the previous app you were in when you said dictation box and paste all the text in there. And it works great. I mean, to me, it works better than the Dragon Naturally Speaking one in terms of system performance. It's very fast. What it doesn't do is it doesn't allow you to do the kind of very detailed editing of text with your voice. That's something that is not all that possible with this system. Although I do actually do quite a bit of text editing with my voice using the speech recognizer app that I don't remember who the guy is who made it, but it's a little add-on that you can get for Chromium. And I will, if I need to work on a big block of text, I will put it in there, and then I can just select a word and then give it a command like capitalize this or make uppercase, and that will make it all caps, or it'll capitalize it. I can I have some commands now where I can select a, what is the sequence? Something like I select a URL and copy it to the clipboard, and then I will go back to something I'm working on, let's say some HTML, and then I'll select the text in there that I want to be the link text, and then I'll give a command that says insert hyperlink. And what it will do is write out all the HTML code that you need to put in the URL and then put the link text in between the two brackets. And it simplifies a lot of that kind of stuff that I have to do frequently when I'm working on my syllabi for classes or doing various other things. I can't tell you how many keystrokes Blather has saved me. I mean, it must be in the hundreds of thousands by now. But,
That is amazing, because that was totally not my intention when I wrote the software. I wanted to do some home automation. I wanted to send commands to web APIs of machines about my house. And you've taken that, and I'm going to say you totally hacked it. And that's totally awesome. That's fucking awesome is what it is. You took something that wasn't really meant, well, I guess it was meant to send commands. That's what Blather was meant to do. Take someone's voice, convert that into a command, and run that command. My vision of it was something very simple. And you took that ball and you fucking ran with it, and you made it this thing that is, I'm blown away. I'm absolutely blown away.
You know, you might have done the same thing with it if you had the problem that I have. My problem is repetitive strain injuries, repetitive stress injuries. If you were always looking for ways to reduce keystrokes the way I am, you probably would have seen the same possibilities here. I immediately saw this as an accessibility tool, not as a fun tool. Now, I use it for fun, too. I've got a bunch of little scripts and commands that I use where I ask it, like, what time is it? And it will run my what time is it script, and it'll do a coin flip, like a virtual coin flip. And depending on whether it gets a 0 or a 1, it will either tell me what time it is, or it'll give me a smart-ass remark like, time to get a move on, or something like that. It chooses from a list of predefined responses, and it shuffles them and chooses one randomly. I've got ones where I'll ask it, what's for dinner? And I've got a text file that has 15 or 20 possibilities of what might be for dinner. And it shuffles all those and chooses the top one. And then a text-to-speech engine will speak it to me.
And now, and that is home automation, when you have the computer speaking to you.
Yeah. It's fun, too. You know, I might do an HPR episode, like a real short one, where I have a conversation with my computer using Mumble. And I can keep it going a pretty good while, because I've got it doing all kinds of things. I can ask it, how's the weather? You know, what's for dinner? How are you today? What time is it? You know, I've got all these commands. And it puts back a different response almost every time.
Then I think you should go ahead and do that one.
I almost certainly will. I got to admit, when you first posted this, I had heard of Sphinx before, because I'd done research on speech recognition. You know, when I realized that my problem really was not going to go away, and I knew that I would have to come up with some kind of speech recognition solution, I tried desperately not to have to resort to Windows. And so I looked into various things on Linux, and I found Sphinx, but Sphinx is not something you can just use. You know, you needed Blather. You needed something to give you a way to start it and have the very complex long command that has to be run to use it. And so, I mean, that's why Blather was so important to me, because I knew about Sphinx. I just had no idea how to use it. And when I first saw what Blather was, and I saw the sample configuration file that said, I don't know, echo this or echo that. I mean, I thought, oh my gosh, this is not going to help me at all. But then I thought about it, and I thought, you know what? I bet I can do some stuff with this. And so I started by figuring out how to make it switch back and forth between different windows. I already knew some of the command line tools to switch windows, the WMCTRL command I've used in scripts before, and that's really good at flipping back and forth between various windows on your desktop, and it works either in GNOME or in OpenBox, which is what I'm on right now. And so once I got that going, I thought, well, you know, I can at least start applications, I can switch to them, I can quit them. And before long, I had ways to do series of keystrokes, like select all, copy, paste, you know, switch to this window, put something there. And once you start the ball rolling, you know, that you start seeing possibilities where other people might not see them. So Blather's just been awesome to me. I'm wondering whether, you know, to me, this really is a great accessibility tool. It makes Linux and speech recognition and dictation and all that, you know, in conjunction with the Google Web speech tool, that's really, really important for the dictation part of it. But it makes it where I really don't think I will have to boot into Windows anymore. Now, you do have to do quite a bit of configuration, but maybe all of the stuff that I've done could serve as some kind of, you know, sample configuration for someone else. And, you know, they can use those commands, or they can keep the command part but change the sentence part, you know, to suit them. And, that's the, to me, the one of the greatest things about Blather is just the fact that I get to tell it what I want to say for something to happen. It's really, I find that when I did boot into Windows after having used Blather for a while, I got so annoyed that I couldn't make it do what I wanted to. I had to make it do what they said that I could make it do. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does make sense. And I may attribute that to vernacular, such that in Redmond, Washington, people may speak a certain way and they would expect to speak to their computer in a certain way. And they would expect someone in another part of the world to speak to their computer the same way that people in Redmond, Washington speak to their computer. And you're saying that Blather allows you to speak the way you speak to your machines.
Exactly. And it's not that the commands they have, say, for desktop navigation are not sensible. They are. I mean, to switch between one window and another, you have to say, you know, switch to Firefox, switch to Thunderbird. But it's not the easiest thing to say, the switch to, itch to, itch to. I mean, it's a very strange sound, and it gets cumbersome. I, instead of doing that, I say, go to Thunderbird, go to Firefox, go to Chromium, go to Hey Buddy. And to me, that's much easier to say, and it works perfectly.
And you're okay with using the two. And the reason I ask is, I was having problems controlling my lights, and I'd say, lights fade to blue would be the command. But I found myself saying lights fade blue all the time, and I was wondering why the command wouldn't run, and then I realized that's not the command that I have, and I've just been sort of shortening it for speed reasons.
Yeah. Most of the time when you have the word to, T-O, in one of these commands, you have to say it very fast. Like if I say go to Hey Buddy, that's basically how I have to say it. Go to Hey Buddy, go to Thunderbird. You don't say go to this, go to that, because it won't recognize it. It'll think you said the word T-W-O or something.
And it also doesn't handle pauses. And that's one problem that I have with my anthropomorphized household and network, in that the first thing I say is the name of the device I'm talking to, and then I will pause and give it a command.
Yeah.
So instead of saying, well, more naturally, I would say, Niauli, lights fade red, which should fade, well, actually, it would do nothing because it's Niauli, lights fade to red. But that space between Niauli and fade is going to be recognized as an end of a sentence.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
And so in the unnatural way, I would have to say, Niauli, lights fade to red.
See,
and I find that very unnatural.
And one of the problems that you're going to have with that is Niauli is not the easiest thing to say.
Actually, for me, it flows pretty well, and it gets picked up very easily from all of the devices I use that are running Blather, including my Nokia N900 running the sweet, sweet Linux MAMO operating system.
Nice.
Yeah, it's awesome, and I still use it, and a lot of people still do. I had to get that, put that one in there.
I wish I had one of those things, man. Seeing you run these, like, what, you run like Qt apps or GTK apps or something on it. You can run Python things on it, isn't that right?
Oh yeah, I've run GTK apps written in Python or Vela. I'll run Qt apps written using PySide, which is Python for Qt. I'm running Blather on it.
That's
and
awesome.
Blather has a UI for both Qt and for GTK, and I could use either of those.
Yeah, that's awesome. That would be so cool.
You could probably find one at the Goodwill for about $10. Because you're John, you can do that.
I will certainly keep my eye out for it. Hey, have you, one of the cool tricks that I figured out in launching Mumble is setting environment variables in the launching script.
Hold on, time out.
Yo.
Blather, not Mumble.
Sorry, Blather. My bad.
Two completely different voice applications.
Boy, you're right about that.
With a very generic name regarding voice.
My bad. I totally didn't catch that. But yeah, so when I'm starting up Blather, I have to use a script because I have to set the GStreamer library location. And at first, that was the only environment variable I set in there. But then I pretty soon realized that I could clean up my commands file quite a bit by setting some of the very frequently used long commands as an environment variable in there. And so I do that with the xvkbd command, where you have to have a whole string of options after it. So my environment variable keypress equals like xvkbd space hyphen secure space hyphen hyphen tech, you know, all these things. And also I use it to set my text-to-speech engine, currently set at, you'll be glad to hear, with the Arctic voice in, what's it, Festival.
Beautiful voice.
Yeah.
Beautiful voice. It's not,
you know, she doesn't pronounce stuff right a lot of the times, but it's a beautiful voice.
Yeah, like my name.
I know. eSpeak will pronounce your name right every time.
eSpeak will pronounce my name right every time. eSpeak is also good for low-end machines like the Raspberry Pi.
Yeah.
However, I still prefer the voice of Festival. It sounds more like the computer on Star Trek.
I guess you're right there. It's a really nice voice. I'm not going to argue with you there. And I'm using it right now because lately, eSpeak has, like, it'll work for a while and then it'll deteriorate into a bunch of staticky buzzes. And I really don't know why. Something to do with Pulse Audio or something. I'm really not sure what happens, but it doesn't happen with Festival, so I just switched to that. But some of my computers, what I do is when I change my commands file, I have a script that not only will update the dictionary and all that stuff, but it also rsyncs with files on two different remote computers. And those, like one in my daughter's room and one in my office at work, and those computers don't necessarily have Festival voice installed. And so that's why originally in my configuration file or my commands file, I had Festival or eSpeak written in the command itself. But then as soon as I synced that commands file up with my work computer, it didn't work anymore because that one didn't have Festival. So that's when I got the idea to set the voice in environment variable. And so I can have a different one on this computer than I do at work. And just in the commands file, just have the invar that's, you know, $voice. I pipe it through that, and then whatever is set as the voice will be used when the command is run. That works much, much better for syncing the same command set over multiple computers.
Now, when I use text-to-speech, I write a script called SpeakString, and then I just simply run SpeakString, and then all of the other words that follow it are the string, and that's what gets spoken. And in SpeakString, the script, I will decide, okay, well, on this machine, I'm going to use Festival, and then on this machine, I'm going to use eSpeak.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, when I'm sending the command, I can just say, oh, when this happens, eSpeak, or when some command is issued, run SpeakString followed by this series of words, and then it's up to the machine itself, or actually me as the programmer on the machine, to say, okay, well, this script is run, use eSpeak. So if I'm on the Raspberry Pi, I'm going to use eSpeak. If I'm on a machine that's nice, I'll use Festival.
Okay. So do you, in the script, does it check the host name or something to decide, like, if host name equals this, then voice equals that, or how do you do it?
Oh, no, it's just a bash script.
Right.
Speak string. And then in the script itself is it will be the command either using eSpeak to speak the string that is the input, or Festival.
Okay.
And so if I don't have that script on a machine, then I obviously have to just create it, or I will get some sort of error that there's no script of that name.
Okay. Yeah, that's the sort of problem that drove me to use the environment variable for choosing the voice. Because I actually rsync up my entire .config/blather directory with different computers. And so when I add a new text file that has like a bunch of responses, like if my son asks me, what can we do, I'm bored, I can give the command, what can we do, I'm bored, and it will choose from a list of 10 things. Now, if I add something to my list and I do my update blather command, it will, you know, sync up that data file to all the computers that I have. And so my work computer can do all the same commands that this one can, but it'll use a different voice when I run the command.
Awkward silence.
Jezra, you there?
I'm still here.
I don't know if we dropped out or what.
Oh, no, that's what in radio is referred to as the awkward silence, or was it dead space?
Dead air, yeah.
Yeah, dead air.
That's nice. Well, you know, I like that.
I'm not really a podcaster.
Okay.
Nor an oddcaster. And being able to fill in that space can be interesting.
Yeah. Well, this has never been a problem for me. You know, I'm trained as a historical musicologist and I'm a professor, and so I make my living by blathering on about all kinds of stuff, and my students are probably more than happy when I shut up at the end of the class period.
Oh, and for people who don't know, blather means incoherent babble.
Right. Pretty much what my students think when I speak to them, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, your students all get an F.
Right. I know, yeah.
Yeah.
You're very keen on failing all of my students.
Well, it's not my fault. They're doing a shitty job being shitty students and getting bad grades.
Boy, you're just brutal now.
Yes, I am.
Well, do we have anything else to talk about with respect to Blather? How would you suggest people get started with it?
I would say anyone interested in using Blather should go to the Gitorious code repository for Blather. Offhand, I have no idea what it is. I think it's probably Gitorious/Blather.
I've already put a link in the show notes for that.
Oh, and awesome.
So, yeah, I've got a link to your site, to the Gitorious site, to the Sphinx site, to the LM tool on the CMU Sphinx site. I've got all kinds of links up there and a link to my video. One of the things I've found about making podcasts for HPR is that I'm much more likely to go through with it and finish it if I make the show notes first before I do any of the recording, because the recording is kind of the fun part and the show notes is kind of the tedious part. And so before we did this interview here, I spent the last couple of days putting together show notes, and so it's pretty much ready. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, one of the links is to the code, and so you can download that. I put together a list of dependencies for, I think they must be the Debian packages, and it's not the easiest thing to get going. There's no single package to install to make Blather work. You do have to work at it a little bit, especially the Vader component on Debian can be a little problematic. There's the libgstreamer pocket sphinx library, I don't remember what it's called, but on a couple of machines where I've installed Blather, I've had a little bit of a hard time getting it to find the Pocket Sphinx GStreamer libraries. But I wrote a little blog post on that problem, and so maybe that will help out.
Well, if you have a blog post to the solution to the problem, you should definitely put a link to that in the show notes, because anyone interested in running it on Debian is going to need to know how to install it, or especially if it's an issue. Otherwise, it's usually when I write code, it's, oh, go get the code and blah, blah. Don't ask me how to install it. I just want to write code.
Well, I'm glad that the first machine I tried it on was Arch, because Arch, by default, seems to install much more, like many more libraries than Debian does, like all the development libraries and stuff like that. And on Arch, it almost just worked when I started out. On Debian, I had to work a little harder, but it is possible. And I have on my Pastebin site, I think I have it on there, a list of all the dependencies that I'm pretty sure you need to make Blather work. And so maybe I should link to that as well. I guess people could just poke around my Pastebin site and say, I've got like many iterations of my commands file there too. So there are tons of examples of different kinds of commands you can use. And some of them are essentially scripts that are written out in one great big long line. If the scripts get too complicated, then I will save them in a special scripts directory. But if they're not too complicated, I like to keep them in the config files, so that way I can share it with people a little easier.
And I'd like to say, when you first asked me about doing a recording about Blather, all I could think was, man, I just wanted to listen to Black Sabbath and turn my lights on and off. That's it.
Well, in reality, what you've done is create, for me, what's probably the most important tool on my desktop now. Because it allows me to be so productive without having to use Windows. And so I got to thank you for that, man. Seems like most of the code I run on my machine is yours. Like, I use Hey Buddy for all of my social networking. I use Mutton Chop to play music. I use SAP to play audio. And now the mother of them all is Blather for me. I mean, it's so important to me, you can't even imagine. If it went away right now, I think I would get down and cry. Like, I would be so upset if I couldn't use Blather anymore.
Well, one, it's on a public repository. Two, it's GPL v3.
There.
Three, I'm deleting it as we speak.
Oh, you rotten bastard. All right. Well, on that note, maybe we should call it quits for this episode. We're up to more than 35 minutes here. But
all righty. Well, then, hey, HPR listeners, thanks for listening. And anyone who has the... Oh, can I just... sorry. One thing I need to say to the HPR listeners. This is a question. If you have a copy of the sheet music to the HPR theme song.
Don't give it to Jezreel. Don't do it, because he's going to play it on bagpipes.
Give it to me. I want it. If you have it in Lily Pond or in MXL or any digital format, send it to me.
Don't do it, because he's going to put it on bagpipes and then he's going to make us listen to it.
Maybe.
Jezreel, I can't thank you enough for talking to me, and especially for writing Blather. You are the man.
Oh, you're making me blush. Luckily, I got sideburns that hides that sort of thing.
Very cool. All right, man.
You're very welcome.
I will talk to you later. See you online, man.
All righty. Take care, buddy.
Okay, bye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRef projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.